You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, committed to helping you become a soul on fire.
Carrie Oberbrunner here, episode 117. Are you ready? I am. This one's going to be a little bit edgy. They always are, but this one's fresh. Let's make it happen, right? Three reasons why defending yourself can destroy you and your business. Episode 117. Look, I always try to share what is very fresh, what is happening immediately. And why do I do that? Because on this podcast, I feel like for many of you, I am maybe just a little bit ahead of you, maybe just one little lap. And what I am experiencing today, you may be experiencing tomorrow. And I wish back when I was starting and when I was going pro with my passion and building an online business and doing book 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, all these things, I wish I would have had someone who kind of just sat me down, maybe with a cup of coffee or a smoothie. I like smoothies even more. And just share with me what's going on and how I can avoid some of the pitfalls, the obstacles, maybe how I can save some pain, right? Maybe how I could save a few hundreds of thousands of dollars or hundreds of hours. I mean, you name it. I wish I would have had someone who kind of just was there for me. And that's how I treat this podcast. I imagine that I'm speaking to one person, and this person is probably an author, a speaker, an entrepreneur, right? Or perhaps even a trainer or a coach. And I imagine that I'm speaking to this person and that they're kind of saying, hey, Carrie, how can I get to my goal the fastest way possible without sideways energy, without unnecessary drama? How can I be true to my message? How can I build an online tribe? How can I expand my influence, impact, and income? And that's kind of how I face every episode. And that's exactly what we're doing today. Today we're talking about, should you defend yourself? Because certainly that is the temptation, especially in our online world, our digital landscape, where people don't know us a lot of times personally, and yet they take a shot, perhaps, or maybe they do know us personally, and they kind of hide behind some of the digital tools that we have, like, well, gee, I'm just going to whip off an email and boom, there you go. You can't read body language. You can't read what's really going on. Are they saying that last statement with humor or are they saying it with cynicism? And we live in a world where you can spend 2 years of your life agonizing over every single word in your book. Then you post this thing up on Amazon. It's like your baby or Barnes & Noble or wherever. And people walk by, complete strangers, and they basically say, this is the ugliest, nastiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Who does this author think they are? Seriously. And you're tempted to defend. You're tempted to go rush and basically explain yourself. And is that the best strategy? That is the question of the day. So today's podcast, episode 117, by the way, carrieoberbrunner.com/117 should definitely lead you to the show notes, because I'm going to give you some tips and tools and tactics today that you can walk away with as well, some documents, some PDFs, and even a pretty cool gift as well. So hang with me. But today's episode is really just 3 points. Number one, point number one, people will attack you. You gotta swallow that pill, right? I mean, people will attack you. If you want to be in the spotlight, even if you don't want to be in the spotlight, you could just be walking down the road trying to not be in the spotlight, and people will attack just because hurt people hurt people, right? Just minding your own business, just walking down the road, oblivious to everything and everybody, and you can be attacked. So this has nothing to do with, ooh, you know, if you're going to really impact the world, you better buckle up. Now, yes, okay, if you choose to be a light in a dark world, you will probably experience a little bit more attack than the normal person. But I'm just telling you, folks, and you know it, you can be anywhere today and experience attack just because you're simply there. So let's just accept that. So now, here, let me share a little bit more. If you're a content creator, in other words, you're putting out books or blogs or posts, maybe you're doing videos. Certainly, you might have a ministry or a business. But if you're creating good in the world, then listen up. I tell my students that if you are going to choose to shine brightly, right? If you're going to choose to shine brightly, inevitably, the darkness will try to extinguish your light. You've already said, by me creating light in the world, I've signed up to do battle with the darkness. It's just true. Now, your growth and progress, here's what I've realized. Your growth and progress as a person threatens some people. It makes some people feel uncomfortable because it forces them to reflect upon their own lives. You catch that? You're walking around as a bright, shining light, and it threatens some people. Some people are drawn to it immediately. They're like, oh, wow, I want more of that. But the people who've kind of been comfortable in the gray, in the fog, they're a little bit threatened because they're not quite in the darkness. They're not quite your enemy, but they're not really okay with you being in the light. And recently I've heard a verse that I've heard my whole life, but I heard it today for, or not today, I heard it this week for kind of the first time in a new way. But it basically says, of course, this is my favorite teacher speaking, and he basically says, let your light shine. Let your light shine so that you may glorify your Father in heaven. And let your light shine before people. And I've always kind of heard that as like, yeah, do good things. You know, do good things because then people can tell that you're tight with God and that you're a follower of God. That's kind of how I always viewed it. But for the first time ever, I kind of paired that verse up with Marianne Williamson's quote, which I've heard for a super long time too. And I was like, whoa, maybe this is a combo, all right? Meaning, again, Jesus says, hey, you know, let your light shine because you're going to glorify your Father in heaven because people are watching you. And Marianne Williams says basically the opposite. Don't let, you know, don't play a small story. Don't dim your light because it makes other people feel comfortable and because other people aren't threatened. Because they too have the potential for light in them. And if you don't play bright, they're never going to tap into their potential light. And it's kind of like this crazy cool two sides of a coin that maybe for the first time this week, it all came together for me. But what I'm saying is that everything's on the line. When you get attacked, everything is on the line. Why? Because if you go quietly back into your little cave and you say, yeah, you know, you're right. I shouldn't be so bright. I shouldn't, maybe I should filter myself. Maybe I should tame down my passion. Maybe I shouldn't be so bold or so bright. You've basically given everyone else permission to play small, to play dim. So everything is on the line, right? And when you get attacked, this is actually the moment where it's the moment of truth. This is the moment where you can dig deep and say, you know what? By golly, right? A little bit, we don't say that too much, but by golly, I'm not going to be dim. I mean, what gives you the right to tell me to play small just so you don't have to step into the light? No way. And this is the moment where you can impact people most. So here's the point. The majority of these people, the people that are threatened, they're not pleased if they have to self-reflect. In other words, your bright light says, well, gee, I got to take inventory of me. Because think about it. If you don't have something that's super bright, you might think that you're bright. Did you catch that? I'm going to give this an analogy. Maybe you've heard me use it before, but there was this old teeth whitening commercial, right? And this old teeth whitening commercial, it's this kindergarten teacher, and she's teaching the kids colors, maybe preschool, and she's holding up an apple, and she says, you know, what color is this class? And they all yell, red. And she says, you know, what color is this banana? And they're like, you know, yellow. And then she says, what color are my teeth? And none of the kids answer. They're like scared to answer because they're certainly not white. In other words, everyone in their own head knows what bright is. They know what a bright light is. And when you are bright, it wakes people up. Then they need to go into the mirror and self-reflect, just like this kindergarten teacher is like, dang, my teeth aren't that white, right? They all have a standard of bright in their heads and hearts, and I don't cut it. And of course, the commercial is to go whiten your teeth, right? But here's the point. You're kind of walking around in life like that. And most of these people who are haters, critics, attackers, rather than making adjustments, these people don't want to adjust their lives, so they settle for an easier strategy. They prefer to attack you instead. I'm not the problem. You're the problem. And that's where they go. It's the easiest, most basic animalistic response. You're bright? Okay, fine. I'll put you out. And I'm going to go attack you rather than you're bright? Maybe I'm not. Maybe I need to make adjustments in my life. Only self-aware, intelligent, emotionally intelligent people can do that. So although you can't control whether or not people will attack you, the one thing you can control is your response. So that brings us to our second point, right? Number one was people will attack. Number two is you will respond. Not you might respond. You absolutely will respond. You have to. You will either ignore them, that's a response. You will either counterattack them, that's a response. You will either start playing small, you'll retreat, you'll go dim. These are all responses. Even silence is a choice. Trust me, when you get attacked, silence is a choice because everything in you doesn't want to be silent. But should you be silent? Well, let's go here and let's talk about a little on this point. Here's what I mean. Human nature tempts us to meet their attack with a counterattack. You catch that? That's why it says in the ancient wisdom literature, if somebody slaps you, if somebody strikes you, turn the other cheek. Because that is not a human response. Human response is, I'm going after them. I'm taking their head off. We're going to find out a quick story about a dude who wanted to take somebody's head off. So we have a right, we tell ourselves. We have a right to exert our power. And these rationalizations seem incredibly justified in the moment. We feel the adrenaline pumping. We see red. We're like, who does this person think they are? Maybe they said the attack in a public forum, like an online situation. Ooh, that happens a lot. You'll be someone who will be attacked, and your fans, your followers, your friends, they're all watching you. They're like, ooh, what's this person going to do? And when the other person, you know, when you lash out with a counterattack, they're like, some of them are like, yeah, go get them. Others are, I think, a little bit disappointed subconsciously because it's expected. I'm always impressed when someone gets massively attacked online via comments, criticism, and rather than return fire for fire, right? Rather than go at the person, they actually don't defend themselves. And here's what's crazy. Many times they're super fans, followers, and friends. They go after the other person and they're like, what? You know, this author has helped me in my life. This is not what that author meant. Have you even read the book? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, seriously, your friends, fans, and followers may attack the other person for you. And that actually happened in a very old story that happened thousands of years ago. Pretty cool. I'm going to share it with you. So here it is. King David, and even if you're like, oh, what, he's telling the Old Testament, I don't believe it. Well, go see, you know, the statue of David, okay? David was a literal king, whether you want to believe it or not. But anyways, David was a guy who had some bloodshed issues, right? I mean, he was a pretty violent dude. He was a military hero. He killed Goliath, all right? Anyways, he's walking around and there's this guy who's cursing him. And this guy's just annoying. He's following behind him, kicking dust, maybe even throwing rocks, cursing him. He's calling him a murderer. He's basically saying all the pain that you have in your life is validated. It's your fault. I mean, he's just ripping on the dude. And besides being annoying, David's got these guys around him called mighty men. And these are like the entourage of entourage. They are bodybuilders. They are war machines. And one of them just looks at David and he says, let me go over and cut this dog's head off. I mean, there's no subtleties here. He's like, David, this is annoying. You could basically snap your fingers and this dude's head would be rolling on the ground. Please let me go cut his head off. In other words, David's being attacked and he has every right. Okay, he has every right to go defend himself. And he's got people who are saying, I'll do it for you. And rather than David be like, yeah, or, you know, nod his head or snap his fingers, he says, you know what? Maybe God's told him to curse me. What the heck? I always read that as a kid, you know, someone who loved movies where the hero, you know, is in this fight. I mean, come on. A lot of us grew up with Karate Kid, right? Whatever show you watch, Rambo, Karate Kid, The A-Team, doesn't matter. I'm dating myself right now, right? Early 80s kid. But David doesn't have any of it. He says, maybe God told this guy to curse me. And I thought, what is going on with this dude? At first, I was very confused. As I grew older, I thought, that's pretty amazing. David often let the attacks come. Saul attacked him. You know, I mean, many times David got attacked by all kinds of people. And sure, certainly times he was justified and he did need to retaliate. He did need to defend God's name or the nation of Israel. But other times it seems when it was a personal attack, David said, you know what? I don't need to defend myself. And it kind of just shuts everybody up. I always thought that was cool. Another time, Jesus, right? Who is he standing before? Pilate. He's standing before Pilate, and Pilate is basically laying into him. And he says, are you a king? I mean, everyone's telling me you're this king. You know, where's your kingdom? And he's just basically poking him in front of everybody. And Jesus is just quiet. Jesus is just silent. He chooses to respond with silence. And it ticks Pilate off. Because again, he's used to being bowed to, worshipped, treated with, you know, people, quote, kissing up, right? And Pilate says, basically, do you refuse to speak to me? Like, are you serious? Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or crucify you? And this is a time where Jesus is being attacked, and he basically does respond back. He responds back with searing truth. I love what my buddy Chet Scott says. Truth that sears. And he says, you have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Dang. In our words today, mic drop, right? And what happened? Did he slap him? Did he take a sword and cut off Jesus' head? No, he realized the truth. Jesus was a truth teller, just like David was a truth teller. And that's what I'm going to teach you to be here in a second, if you're not one already. That's what I had to be this week, and it did not go well. All right, I'm going to share that with you. It didn't go well in some ways. In some ways, it went absolutely according to plan. But Jesus' response ripped through Pilate. It even changed his behavior. When you can use truth to sear someone so much that it changes the way they behave, that's pretty big. And it says in the Gospels, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. Jesus' statement seared Pilate so much. And he thought, this isn't like everybody else who kisses up. This isn't like everybody else who begs at my feet. This is someone who told me the truth. He's right. I wouldn't have any power unless it was given to me from above. And as a result, he tries to set Jesus free. Amazing. Now, he didn't, because it wasn't according to God's plan. But the point is, crazy. And in business, you have the same opportunity. When someone takes shots at you, sure, sometimes you respond with silence. I've done that. But this week, someone attacked me, and I responded with truth. Now, was I 100% justified? Who knows? Probably not. I mean, we never are, right? And that's one of the enemy's strategies, is like, don't respond until you're absolutely 100% sure that in every second you are 100% pure motives. And I've given that up a long time ago. I've said, you know what? I don't know my motives. I'm just going to try to walk with my creator and be bold and be brave and let the motive chips fall where they may. Because you know what? If you're going to wait until your motives are 100% perfect, it says you don't even know your own heart sometimes. So as a result, you got to go with your gut. You got to be bold. So point number one was, people will attack you. Number two, you will respond. And number three, defending will destroy. Defending will destroy. Here's why. Remember, you have a mission. Achieving this mission, whatever your mission is, mine is to ignite souls. In fact, ignite 1 million by 2020. I know other people whose mission is to help bring hope to grieving parents. I know other people's mission, a lady named Valerie, who's in inner city Chicago, trying to bring, basically rescue inner city kids through the educational reform. Whatever your mission is, you have one. And if you don't have one, we'll keep listening, because I got a gift for you here at the end that's going to help you identify your mission. All right. In fact, I'm just going to tell you the link right now, and then we'll keep rolling. But it's literally, the link is Deeper Path. Okay. So hold on a second. It's Deeper Path. Pretty easy. Dot carrieoberbrunner.com. That's it. deeperpath.carrieoberbrunner.com. I'm going to tell you more about that here in a second, but if you know your mission, it's going to help you because it's going to move you into greater clarity, which yields greater competence, which yields greater confidence. And then you get the triple three at the end here, influence, impact, and income. So again, this free gift, it's a free book, Deeper Path book, that also includes a very cool purpose assessment inside. I bought some just for the podcast audience. We have limited supplies, and my friend Terry mails them out. And again, zero charge to you. We just ask you that you cover shipping and handling. And deeperpath.carryoverrunner.com. I truly believe that's it. I'll put in the show notes. Yeah, deeperpath.carryoverrunner.com. Anyway, if you're not clear on your mission, it'll help you get it. If you know your mission, but you need more clarity, more competence, or more confidence, or influence, impact, or income, get it. Get it today. All right? But here's the point. When you are distracted, guess what happens? All right? Again, you have a mission, requires your full focus, but three outcomes happen that will destroy you and your business when you rush to defend yourself. Number one, defending yourself distracts you from your mission. You catch that? This is one of the enemy's strategies. Let's go attack this person so that then they lose vision. They lose focus. Now their focus is, guess what, right? Rather than advancing, you settle for sideways energy instead. You might say, big deal. What's the problem? You clog up your creativity. You catch that? You clog up your creativity and you pause your productivity. I like that. Somebody tweet that. Defending yourself clogs your creativity and pauses your productivity. It rhymes. Write it on your mirror. It's so true. Defending yourself clogs your creativity and pauses your productivity. I've seen it way too many times. In fact, I've seen it in business. When businesses start attacking competitors, they're done. I've seen it back in one of my favorite stories when Nehemiah was rebuilding the ancient walls of the city and attackers come. Verbal attackers. Did you catch that? People who come and start laying into them through verbal attacks. To what? To distract them. And Nehemiah is like, I'm not having any of it. I got a vision in front of me. I mean, this happens in sports all the time. Before a big fight, right? Boxing fight, UFC. Before a big game, right? The Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavs, they try to create drama. They try to go on the attack. In fact, this is one of their strategies, is to get star players off the game, to change their focus. And now their focus becomes on replying in media to the attacks that are going on. This is classic. This only bolsters your haters. Did you catch that? It only bolsters your haters and equips your critics because it gives them attention. Now they're escalated and elevated to the very top of your awareness. They're in your head. This is what Muhammad Ali did all the time. He attacked his opponents. He wanted to get George Foreman. He wanted to get other people so rattled that he would just attack him and come up with these little songs, little media deals, because he knew, I can get in their head. I'll win the war before we even step in the ring. I mean, that was his strategy, and it worked a lot of times. Your opponents inflict a serious blow by distracting you from the work in front of you. They can defeat you without even facing you or fighting you. They just shoot little verbal attacks across the bow, if you will, right? Number two, discouragement. Defending discourages you. Why? because you're a good person. You want to help people. You want to alleviate suffering. You want to bring about pleasure. And as a result, rather than spending time serving your clients, you spend time battling your enemies. Trust me, I know you. I know that as you enjoy helping others. So instead of you helping others, what do? You start scheming. You start stewing over, how can I hurt my opponents? Ooh, that last thing that they just shot over my way. It takes up your creative space. It fills up your subconscious mind, right? Which is incredibly resourced. Your subconscious mind figures out problems for you when you're sleeping. It basically writes pages in your novel. This is true. All the data shows this. So don't think, ooh, you know, every second that I have a great idea, I'm consciously dwelling on it. Most of the time, you're not. Most of the time, that's why we call it the eureka moment. Your subconscious has been processing it. Well, when you fill up your subconscious mind with subtle ways to get even with your opponents or attack or counterattack, you're shot. You're done. You are no longer devoting productive energy to your business or ministry. You have now basically sucked it up with other things. This exchange takes a toll, wearing down your stamina and morale, and you end up getting discouraged. What is the root word of discourage? To, guess what? Discourage. You lose your courage for the battle, for the war. You become weak. It truly weakens you. Defending yourself weakens you, your resolve, your morale, everything, your attitude. That's how your enemy beats you. So, what is the third one? We had defending will destroy you in the following three ways. Number one, it will distract you. Number two, it will discourage you. And number three, it will defeat you. Like literally, defending defeats you. This does not happen overnight usually. It's a cumulative effect that eventually weakens you. You don't even notice it in the beginning, but it weakens your resolve and your results. You catch that? Ooh, I like that one too. Somebody tweet that. Defending weakens your resolve and your results. After time, you'll stop pursuing how to achieve your mission, and you'll start pursuing how to debate your adversaries. We see this in political races. We see this in churches. We see this in business. We see it with brands that are battling each other. No longer are they focused on the clients. It's ego now. It's all about taking out the opponent, and that's how they begin to scheme. And as a result, you and your legacy are done. Instead of functioning as a servant who spreads your message, you function as a soldier who shoots down your enemies. Ouch. Let me say that again. Instead of focusing as a servant who spreads your message, you function as a soldier who shoots down your enemies. You are more than the attacks designed to destroy you. Again, you are more than the attacks designed to destroy you. Therefore, don't defend yourself. Stay focused. You have a mission to achieve. Why am I so passionate about this? Because this week, my friend, guess what? It happened. It happened. And I'm not going to mention names. All I'm going to say is that someone dear to me, who has a ton of potential, I've known this person for years and years and years, well over a decade, going on 2 decades. And all I'm saying is this person has a ton of potential. And over the years, I've continued to grow. I've continued to advance. I've continued to redefine my context. And as a result, this other person has not. They've tried. They've made attempts, but they never quite go all in. They might think they go all in, but there's some fundamental things dealing with the belief system, dealing with certainly the self-limiting beliefs, certainly with action. I mean, there's a whole formula that this person is ascribing to. And some of it's theology based. Some of it's, you know, well, it's God's fault. If God wanted me to, you know, change certain things in my life, God would do it. You know, whatever. I can't judge this person's heart. All I can see is the outside. And all I know is they have a ton, an absolute ton of potential. And the last few times that we've met over the years, this person has, again, it's kind of the same story. It's the same lunch over and over again. It's like Groundhog's Day. It's like, hey, here are some action steps. You know, you asked to meet with me. You asked if you have what it takes, not officially, but that's basically what this person's asking. And every time I'm like, you have what it takes, but you need to do this, this, and this. And here's a path. Here's a plan. Here's steps. Here's a program I've developed. Here's a resource you need to do. Here's some actions you need to take. And you know what? Those actions have been dismissed. Those actions have been the nodding of the head. Oh, yeah, yeah, thank you. And again, I don't live with this person. I don't know all the details, but all I know is the same invitation happens about every 6 months. And it's not that I don't like this person. I actually really do. Did you catch that? I actually believe in this person more than they will ever know. I actually see this person's potential, and I think about this person often. And I think, wow, if this person were a soul on fire, they could be doing earth-shattering things. And you know what? I see it, but they don't. And so the last time I left this person at a lunch, after I think the third time we did the lunch, and I don't even do this with people. The only reason I do this is because this person is a friend. This person is somebody I believe in. But after the last lunch, I'm like, you know what? If this person doesn't take the clear actions I've laid out from this lunch, it's a waste of my time and it's a waste of their time. It gives this person an illusion of action taking. Ooh, I booked a lunch with Carrie, you know, and I'm going to get serious and I'm going to, no. You're not. And you have limited time. You listening to this podcast right now, you have limited time and so do I. And you have people in your life who are asking to pick your brain, to take you to lunch, to get the advice. And you know what? You don't say that to your heart surgeon. Hey, heart surgeon, can I go pick your brain? Can I go take you to lunch? Why? Well, you know, my heart's blocked, so I want to pick your brain. No. If your heart is blocked, this is a good illustration. If your heart is blocked, you ask your heart surgeon to do what they do. And that's to give you a protocol, to give you steps, to give you a process to reverse your heart disease. You expect them to create life change by giving you clear steps and you take them. But then when we think it's coaching, well, why? I can just pick my coach's brain. I can just take them to lunch. No. So what did I do? I responded to this person and here's exactly what I said. And again, I'm sharing this because I think it's a good template for you. This person probably will never listen to this podcast. If they do, that's great because now they're hearing my heart behind my reply. And I hope they do get a sample of the belief that I have in them because I believe in them so much. But I basically responded. I said a bunch of other things, but then I said, hey, in conclusion, thanks for your invitation for coffee or lunch. I know I've done a few with you over the years based upon my desire to help you and map out your next steps. Unfortunately, I must decline. I'm very focused on the commitments in front of me at the moment. I will send you the email I send to all my frequent lunch invitations. Obviously, based on our long friendship, if I wrote you a new response, I would have made it much less direct. However, I think the links and the steps at the bottom may be helpful for you, and so I'll leave the email unchanged for now. So I'm basically telling this dude, hey, I know you asked me to meet for lunch again. I can't because I'm focused on the commitments that are in front of me, but I'm going to send you kind of a standard response. It's pretty direct, and based on our friendship, I would have tamed it down, but there are some helpful links at the end that I think you should consider. So here's the standard email that I send to people. Hi, blank. Thanks for your email. I stopped doing lunches years ago because most life change doesn't happen over lunch. It's true. You got waiters, you got waitresses bugging you, plus you're in a comfortable setting, plus it's an infrequent lunch. Do you think you're going to be healthy if you meet with your health trainer every 6 months over lunch? No. If you want to be healthy, you need to enter a process. Anyways, here's what I say. Rather, I've seen thousands of souls become ignited through our events and gatherings. Plus, we invest our time and passion into these life-changing events. Code words. My life is devoted to ignite souls. Code word, right? Translation. We don't mess around when we create gatherings. We agonize over every detail to create an environment that leads to life change. That's what I'm telling this guy. Let's not just do a casual lunch and shoot the breeze like we do every 6 months and nothing changes. Let's enter you into a detailed, strategic process. Besides, I need to be true to my Opus hyperlink. By the way, that Opus is deeperpathbook.com, deeperpathbook.com/team. There's my picture. There's my Opus. And I put a link right there for the guy in the email so he can see, oh, wow, here's Carrie's overarching vision. Here's Carrie's purpose. Here's Carrie's unifying strategies. Here's Carrie's scorecard for significance. This guy's serious. I'm modeling to these people what it means to have clarity. And then I say, requests for brain picking and lunches are endless. However, here are some opportunities you may want to consider. Some are free and some are not. Many people travel from around the world to come to them, including one lady from Israel recently. You are local, so I imagine you could make some of these work. Am I trying to be subtle? Am I trying to be coy? No. I'm basically saying, look, certain people hop on a plane and come halfway around the world to experience the life change that we share in these processes. You live across the street. You live across the town. If you can't get your butt in a car and drive over and invest in a free event or some that are paid, guess what? You don't have what it takes. Bottom line. What happens when I send this email to people, especially that are local? Nothing. These people don't want to meet for life change. These people don't want a process like a health plan to become healthy, like a career plan to turn their passion into a full-time gig. By the way, links are free Igniting Souls Fellowship. Okay? If you ever want to find the Igniting Souls Fellowship, they're free. They're local, but we live stream them. You just go to carryoverburner.com. Right on that page is Igniting Souls Fellowship. You click the little icon, it leads to the next fellowship. The next fellowship, guess what? You're going to love this. The next fellowship is something like how to get clients that ask you to triple your rates. Did you catch that? Not how to get clients that triple your rates. How to get clients that ask you, that actually beg you, that ask you to triple your rates. It's a true story. And it's not me. It's a guy who followed my model. And this absolutely happened. I'm going to show you the letter he got asking from a client, because you helped me so much, because you brought so much value, because you delivered so much craziness into my life. I am paying you a check that's triple your rate. This actually happens. Okay. Anyways, that's a free event that I have. And what is this guy often asking? How could I turn my passion into a full-time gig? How could I charge, you know, for my services? I'm giving this guy 90 minutes of a session that isn't chatting over lunch. It's actually a strategic plan, a proven plan. Guess what? Is he going to show? I don't know. It happens on August 11th. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. My guess is this email, most of the time that goes out, nothing happens with people because you hit them between the eyes. You hit them with, you know what, buddy, you need to make life change. And here's a path and here's a plan. And I'm not doing lunch because my time's too precious. Scott Peck said, people who value their, people who don't value their time don't value themselves. Ouch. People who don't value their time don't value themselves. I value my time incredibly because I have a very high level of self-image and self-esteem, and I know the value I can create. Plus, I want to hang with my kids and my wife. I'm not messing around. You know what I'm saying? All right. The other one is Igniting Souls Conference. We are now 95% sold out for a conference that happens once a year, and it's 3 months from now, October 20th and 21st, maybe 21st and 22nd. Go to IgnitingSoulsConference.com. People are coming from all over the world to this thing, hundreds and hundreds of people. They're hungry. You know, when you step in the room and you're with people who are hungry, it changes everything. That's my crowd. Those are my people. I get so amped to speak to that crowd. I'd rather speak to that crowd than 20,000 people who are sleeping, right? Most of the time, 20,000 people are sleeping when you speak to them. I'd rather speak to a few hundred people that are on fire, that you literally step in the room and it changes the energy inside your body. That's what I'm talking about. IgnitingSoulsConference.com. If you want one of the last few tickets today, go there, like today. Stop making excuses, right? Don't be like this dude, right, that I sent this email to, nothing. The last thing I share is Deeper Path Cohort. I basically say, hey, here's a process that I've spent hundreds of hours perfecting that gives you a map and a plan to develop your own opus. Check it out. Nothing, right? Nothing from this guy. Other people have taken the step, life change. They're no longer in pain. Their heart is fixed. Their brain is fixed, right? Because they actually didn't want to just shoot the breeze. And then the last link I put is Dream Job Bootcamp. Dream Job Bootcamp, where I basically tell people, let's go from prison to plan to payoff, just like Shawshank. Andy Dufresne was stuck in jail, right? You're stuck in your day job jail. Let's create a plan out. And that's a process. And what bugs me is like nothing. In fact, I get an email back from this guy. And again, I hope, my goal in this is not to rip on this guy. He's got so much potential. That's how much I care and love. I love this dude. I absolutely love this dude. He's a friend. And the reason why I'm doing a podcast, the reason why I did a video this week, the reason why I did a Facebook post about defending yourself is because, number one, you love people, you care for people, and you have to stop rushing to defend. Because when I got this email, I was a little scared. I thought, how is he going to respond? How did he respond? Basically, in regards to lunch or coffee, okay, I respect you're a busy guy, but it was really based on a desire to catch up and see how you're doing. That said, hopefully you are building some margin into your schedule to just talk with friends and colleagues. Remember, growth and learning goes both ways. Guess what? I know growth and learning goes both ways. That's why daily I'm investing in myself with colleagues, with friends. So bottom line, got that taken care of, right? When I first got this email, I'll admit, it hurt. You know, I was thinking, again, you self-doubt, right? Am I off base? Am I the problem? Maybe this guy's right. And then I reread my email. There's nothing in there about being too busy. I did not say, I'm too busy, so that I can't meet with you. No, I said, here's my focus commitments that I'm doing. And you know what? Life change doesn't happen over lunch. And you know what? We've been having the same chat for the last 4 years, every 6 months. And you know what? Most of the time, we don't talk about me and my family. And that's okay, by the way. Seriously, that's okay. I'm all right with that. I have people in my life who ask about my wife, my kids, my life. That's fine. This relationship with this guy is, how can I help you? Why? Because he's asked me for reference forms for other jobs many times. He's asked me to give, you know, steps and processes and plans and this type of thing. And so far, nothing has changed. So he shoots back an email that basically says, look, you're too busy. Learning goes both ways. I really didn't want to meet with you to talk about next steps, even though I asked you for a reference form for a new employer less than 60 days ago, right? I mean, again, not judging the dude. All I'm saying is this was the response. So I let it go and I was like, you know, I'm not going to respond back to him again. This is, we're done. You know, this, I said my piece. And then I was talking to my friend, my builder, my former coach, Chet Scott from Built to Lead. And Chet's like, dude, you got to reach back out to him because nobody responds that way unless it's true. Unless it's true, you jolted him. You woke him up. You shook him. You poked the bear. You got to reach back out to him and make sure that he understands your heart. And so I basically said, hey, thanks for your response. We were both mentored by a guy. Well, I can't say that. If I say that next line, you might know who it is. But anyways, I basically say that I'm not busy. To me, busy is a quote that I've heard a long time ago, being under Satan's yoke. That's what busy means. So I said, I'm not busy. I'm intentional. And I want margin and I need margin, just like everybody. And if you're up for it, because I value you and your friendship, I'd love to unpack the heart behind my email. I am 100% against blowing people off, and I am 100% for people achieving their true potential, and wow, you have a ton of it. I'm telling the guy, believe in you. If you'd like to talk about that, I'd love to shoot you a quick call today or Monday, whatever times are best, just let me know. Again, I didn't want to go back one more time, but I do value the dude. I do appreciate him. I do believe in him. And so one last time I said basically like, let's unpack the email. You have a ton of potential. I didn't not meet with you because I'm busy. In fact, I'm giving more time to you right now to unpack it. Nothing. I've heard nothing. And maybe I will, and maybe I won't. Maybe after a few days or weeks or months, he'll reach back to me and say, you know what, you're a jerk, or you know what, you were right. And you didn't let me continue in my state of apathy. Who knows? All I'm saying is I did this podcast today for you. And because I'm honest, I did it for me too. I did it because I want a heart check. Because I want to look in the mirror, because I needed to do the work of, Carrie, are you off base or are you on base? And over the last week, I've searched my heart and I've chatted with my wife, my truth teller. I've chatted with Chet, one of my truth tellers. I've prayed about it, okay? And at the end of the day, rather than say, oh, this guy's right, you know, I have no margin and, you know, and by golly, I'm not learning and I'm not investing in myself, and I'm too egotistical to think that this guy can't teach me anything. Look, I did all the heart checks, and at the end of the day, I truly believe that I don't need to defend myself, and I'm moving on with the mission in front of me. And if this guy wants to come with, I would love him to, but if he doesn't, it's his life. This is Carrie Oberbrunner. Be a soul on fire. And to you, let me close with an appeal to you. If something in this podcast today resonated with you, if there was some kernel of truth, if in your heart you say, you know what? If Carrie sent me that email, I would respond. I would jump in the next Igniting Souls Fellowship. I would go to that free book that he's telling me about, deeperpath.carrieoberbrunner.com. I would go to the Igniting Souls Conference. Stop saying I would and start saying I will today, right now, make the decision. Jot down deeperpath.carryoverburner.com and get the book. We pay for it. You just cover shipping and handling. Come to Igniting Souls Conference. I'll make this appeal to you as well. I believe in it so much. I told people recently, if you come to the Igniting Souls Conference, and if by 5 p.m. on the first day, you did not receive 10 times your investment. In other words, you walk in after the first three or four sessions, you have not been blown away and received 10 times the value of your ticket. You come up to me personally, you hand me your course materials, I will hand you a check for the full conference fee. I will shake your hand, we will still be friends. And you know what? You'll leave with the check in hand and a free day of teaching and meals. And I will be so thankful that you took action. That's how much I believe in you. And that's how much I believe in the content we put out. Go be a soul on fire today. Don't defend yourself. Instead, pursue and achieve your mission.